We are back at it. Welcome back to another edition of the Pistols Firing Podcast. I'm Carson Cunningham, joined as always by Kyle Porter. Kyle, what's up, man?
Not much. I don't know if this is cheating on you, but I've started another podcast as well. Got a golf podcast going with CBS Sports, so I'm taking my talents elsewhere, but also leaving them here.
It's not you, it's me. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I wish it would have been fun to just crank this up and do some golf and send it over to CBS. But now I've got a good partner over there, Chip Patterson. Really good dude. I'm excited about starting that. And we taped episode one on Monday, so hopefully it'll be good.
Well, if you ever need any uninformed, uneducated golf opinions, you know who to come to. You can come to me.
Some scripting takes, some uni takes.
Yeah, I got plenty of those. But no, that's exciting. I mean, golf's about to be in full swing, isn't it, this summer? And that when it really gets going, we got the majors coming around. When's the U.S. Open?
We got Players Championship next week. I'm going to that. And then U.S. Open is Father's Day, so June 15th or 18th or whatever. And then British Open, PGA. So it'll be fun. It'll be a good summer.
I got some vacation time coming up. Could I join you at the Players?
You can join me. I don't know how much fun I'll be just sitting there typing the whole time.
I could sneak around to golf in there, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to go down there because I've heard really good things about it. I've never been, but I've heard it's really fun. And I think it gets a little bit, I don't know, like the PGA Tour hypes it up because that's like their premier event. Because all the other majors are obviously not under the jurisdiction of the PGA Tour. They're under the jurisdiction of Augusta National or the USGA or whatever. And so that's like their big time event, and it's at their, you know, where their headquarters is. So they kind of, I think they kind of blow it out. So I'm pretty fired up to go down there.
Where is it again?
It's Ponte Vedra Beach, so Jacksonville.
Jacksonville doesn't sound that
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, I know. That's the only thing. But I've heard good golf, good, like, you know, restaurants.
It's Florida. And, yeah, it's Florida. Florida's okay. Florida sounds better than it really is when you get there.
We've got
been there quite a bit.
I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about this yet, but we actually got a bunch of us got a house together. So it's like me, the guys at No Line Up, some PGA Tour guys will be there. Adam Sarson, he's like the GIF master. So it's a bunch of like kind of younger writers, podcasters, bloggers. So it'll be fun. It'll be really cool to all kind of spend the week together.
How worried is your wife about that?
Well, she's more concerned about the fact that I'll be gone for 6 days than about us being at a house together.
I envision you returning like Frank the Tank on Old School, just after a full week of just partying, just hat in hand. And she just says, get in the shed. Get in the shed. Hey, I don't even want to talk right now.
I paid my dues last week. I watched the kids. I survived.
Nothing bad happened, right?
Yeah, we went camping. It was great weekend. It was a lot of fun.
I had a lot of fun too working, but I watched the NFL draft. And before we get into the draft, Kyle, did you know the draft? I think it's at the Dallas Star next year.
At the
Star Complex they built in Frisco or whatever.
Oh, we should go.
Like, let's go. Like, I'm not I watched the draft with some of my friends, and like that they are seriously like already planning on going and like wearing jerseys to the thing and everything. It was so great. I watched it with. Sorry, go ahead.
Are you gonna wear a Blake Jarwin jersey? Blake Jarwin Cowboys jersey?
That would be Matt Emilian. He's already got his back order. I was trying to think what jersey I would wear. You know, I was watching the NFL draft with some friends, and one guy's a Bears fan, which was just hilarious when they took the quarterback at second pick and traded their entire draft to get a guy who's played 13 college games. He was wearing a, you know, he's an OU guy, so he's wearing a Tommy Harris Chicago Bears jersey.
Yeah, there you go.
And he took it off and threw it after the pick. And nobody else was wearing a jersey, but I was trying to think. I've never had an NFL team, Kyle, and I've kind of bounced back and forth. You know, I didn't like the Cowboys at all, never have, but now they got so many OSU guys, I'm leaning that way. You know, I'm a Florida State guy, so Jameis Winston and the Bucks seem like an up-and-coming team. I might go that way. So I'm undecided on what jersey I will wear.
Well, You've never owned an NFL jersey?
Well, kinda. One of my friends in college at OSU was from Boston.
Oh, we talked about this.
Yeah, and for Halloween he was Larry Bird and I was Tom Brady, yeah. And I never gave him the jersey back. So I still have a Tom Brady jersey even though I haven't really gone out of my way to buy an NFL jersey.
Yeah, I had a Tom Brady jersey in college too.
And you actually bought it though?
No, one of my friends traded me. I traded him like a hoodie for. This is like the most college thing ever. I traded him like some hoodie or a golf club, I don't know, something for a Tom Brady jersey. So that was,
you won that trade.
Yeah, yeah,
that's worse than the James Harden trade.
That aged well.
Yeah, I might just wear the Tom Brady jersey. Like we both love Brady.
Yeah, yeah, that would be great. No, that would be fun. The draft was interesting. It's hard because like you want there to be more, you know, local, especially Oklahoma State tie-ins and even Big 12. Like it was just kind of like desolate for the first few rounds in terms of Big 12, other than Patty Mahomes and Mixon. Were you surprised at how few Big 12 guys were taken?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I hadn't really thought about the possibility that so few would get taken, although it's kind of been a trend lately. But you look at the numbers, man, it's startling. You mentioned it, just one first round pick. I can't remember what the final tally was, but it was just...
It was, I think it was 14, and the AAC had 15.
14 total out of an entire conference.
It's not good.
Well, and it illustrates why people don't think the Big 12 is any good. And it's hard to argue with that fact. I mean, you can say, look, NFL players doesn't equate wins. And I understand that, but if you have NFL talent, like you're naturally going to be a better team. Just look at all the best players OSU's had over the years. They all ended up in the NFL. So it's just, it's concerning for the league. You know, the league has so many problems and obviously talent gap has grown, and I'm sure there's many reasons for it, but man, it's bad. And you and I talked about the OSU guys last week. I was trying not to be too much of a Debbie Downer, but I kind of envisioned happening what happened. Like I just didn't see a whole lot of the guys that were eligible getting picked very high. And fortunately, several got picked late, but OSU certainly wasn't a talking point at the draft.
Well, I was so stunned. I can't remember. Somebody in our Slack chat pointed this out, but it was the first time. And you're right. They Vincent Taylor didn't go to the sixth, and Chris Carson almost the last pick. But it was the first time since 2012, I believe, that multiple OSU players have been drafted in the same draft. Now, in that time, they've had a player go in every draft, but they've only had one player go in every draft. Did that surprise you?
That stat really did surprise me. I thought it would be more than that, but you look at people wonder why, you know, why can't Mike beat OU and why is Mike scared of OU? Well, OU's had four guys picked for 10 straight years. Think about that. They've had four guys picked in each of the last 10 years. Now, lately with OU, it's been guys in like the 5, 6, 7 range, the, you know, guys who weren't really that big of stars, like Jordan Evans this year is a six round draft pick. Like, he's a good player, a good college player, but you know, he's a 6 round pick. So OU hasn't had quite the top upper echelon first round, second round picks lately, but they did have Mixon go in the second round, I guess.
Is that your like typical OSU fan voice?
Mike, throw the deep ball, Mike.
They're
open. Throw it. Mason, hang on to the football. I guess that's my typical fan voice.
Here's an interesting thing to note. The only year since 2003, I think I'm counting this correctly. That's always dicey with me and counting. That Oklahoma State's not had a player go in the NFL draft is 2008.
They didn't have anybody picked in 08?
No. So going back to Mike Gundy's first year was 05. So 06 would have been his first draft. Charlie Johnson, then 07 is Corey Hilliard. Ryan McBean also in 07. Nobody in 08. Then Pettigrew, Zach, Parrish Cox, Dez, Russell Okung, Kendall Hunter, And then you get to the 2012, which is Markell, Whedon, Blackman. So that was the last time multiple guys had been picked. And then consecutive years after that, Randall in 13, Gilbert in 14, Josh Furman in 15. He was a 252nd pick. Ogbo last year, and then Vincent Taylor and Chris Carson.
It's a pretty nice run, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Didn't you and I talk about it last week, the per capita OSU's?
Yeah.
Putting as many guys as anybody per capita?
Well, in terms of their success and having Pro Bowlers and all pros.
That's a legit who's who. And you can go even before that. Like, we didn't even mention, like, Alonzo Mays, R.W. McCorders played about 10 years. But we were just talking about Gundy era.
Yeah. There was another interesting stat that got brought up. I'm trying to find it. It was about, oh, here it is, consecutive years with a draft pick. So USC had their 500th ever draft pick picked this year, and they've had a player drafted in 79 consecutive NFL drafts.
Oh my gosh!
Michigan is tied with them, and then number three. So those are T1. Number three was interesting to me. I want to see if you can guess. It's from your beloved Big Ten conference.
Well, if it was interesting to you, it's not Ohio State.
Mm-mm.
So I will go Nebraska.
No, they were fifth. Michigan State is second with 70.
I never would have guessed that.
A player picked in 77 consecutive NFL drafts. So
wow.
Florida 66, Nebraska 55, the U 43, Iowa 40.
No way.
Yeah.
Get that out of here.
Florida State 34.
A lot of linemen in there for Iowa.
Oh, yeah. OU 22, Purdue 20.
Joe Tiller had it rolling, man.
And then you go all the way down. Alabama and Oklahoma State are tied with Baylor and TCU at 9. They're pretty far down the list. I can't believe Alabama's at 9. That's pretty humorous.
You want another Big Ten stat?
Give it to me. Yeah.
The Big Ten has not had a first-round draft pick quarterback since 1995, Kerry Collins, Penn State. World-class offense they got up there. Really putting the fear in defenses. 95, Kyle's last time they had a first-round quarterback.
Yeah, but they produced Tommy B.
Yeah, so... He was, what, sixth round? That's because they kept playing Drew Henson over him. That was
Yeah, they did. What do you think about – I was curious as to your thoughts because Patty Mahomes went 10th, 11th overall, whatever it was.
10th. They traded up to get him, too.
Yeah, to Kansas City. What do you think about him in the NFL? You think he'll have a good career?
I think he's really talented, obviously. I'm not just overly – optimistic about him, I guess you say. A lot of people love him. I just tend to think he is a little too risky for the NFL. Mm-hmm. Like some of the throws he makes in college, you just simply cannot make. And I don't know if that's something you can ever fully get out of your genes, your genetics. Like you either like that or you're not. Now you could say Brett Favre was that way, and he turned into a Hall of Famer. So that's kind of the ceiling for him is, you know, Favre was pretty much a run on the move or throw on the move type of guy, force balls into tight windows. So maybe he'll be like Brett Favre, but I don't know. I don't have a really strong opinion one way or the other. I do think it was interesting Kansas City spent so much to get him. They obviously are convinced he's going to be a star. But yeah, his arm strength is off the charts. I'll give him that, man. I was at the OU Texas Tech game, which was just an abomination for defenses.
Has that game ended yet?
No. Lasted an eternity. But he threw a few balls that I swear had to have gone 70, 80 yards just on an absolute rope.
Yeah.
Just and like throwing it like off his back foot. It was weird looking the way he would throw. But He's got the genes. His dad played in the major leagues. He's got the cannon for sure. I'm just interested to see if he pans out. Although Andy Reid has done a really good job with quarterbacks, so I think he went to a good spot.
Yeah, I'm always skeptical of Texas Tech quarterbacks. Just generally, I know it's different. I know it's not the Leach system, but and it's just I don't know. People get so like wrapped up in like projecting the NFL and figuring out who's going to be good. It just feels to me like, are you in a good situation? You know, is this the right spot for you? Do you get a couple breaks and get some momentum going? Like, it just seems like that it's just so up in the air that it's almost when a league has that much parity, it feels impossible to predict what's going to happen.
Totally. But I do think it's good for him that he gets to sit. Like, I think a lot of guys can get ruined by playing as a rookie, just taking a bunch of hits, losing confidence, and they never quite recover. I think Brandon was that way. I think Whedon got kind of thrown in the fire right away, and I think it would have benefited him to kind of sit and learn how the NFL is a totally different game than college. And it's trending more towards spread and shotgun, but it's still just completely different speed. And, you know, you've seen guys like Aaron Rodgers sit, learn how to play quarterback, and it does him a lot of good. So
yeah,
I think he's entering a really good situation.
Yeah, for sure. What'd you think about, speaking of situations, what'd you think about the situations that OSU guys enter? Chris Carson to Seattle, Vincent Taylor to Miami, and even some of the undrafted free agent guys, Jordan Stearns to Kansas City. I know Hayden Barber wrote about that. Blake Jarwin to Dallas, Ashton Lampkin also to Kansas City. What was your favorite one out of all of those that you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Like, I can see that guy succeeding there.
Matt Amelian, turn the volume up, listen close. I think Blake Jarwin is going to make the Cowboys, and I think he's going to play eventually.
Wow.
Because, I mean, Jason Witten is 100 years old. James Hanna is kind of underwhelmed at tight end. There's just not a lot in front of him, and I think he's a real – like Rico Gathers is in front of him, the guy who played basketball at Baylor.
Yeah.
Now, maybe he will turn into Antonio Gates for all I know, but there is just not a lot once you get past Jason Witten ahead of him. And I think Jarwin's proven he can block and catch, which in Dallas's offense, you're going to have to block as much as they run the football. So I think his time as a Cowboy back, where he did a lot of blocking, a lot of run blocking, and, you know, Matt Amelian was screaming at his TV to run more routes.
Give him the ball.
I think that'll do him a lot of good. I think he's entering a great situation in Dallas. And we've seen it work out with OSU guys in Dallas before. They love him down there. So I think he entered a really good spot. I know everyone got really fired up about Chris Carson going to Seattle. And while I do think, I did think it was a fit just for his running style, I was a little concerned that, you know, they already have a ton of running backs on their roster. So that would concern me as a seventh-round pick. But then I watched that clip you guys posted on the blog, where Pete Carroll and Schneider, the GM, called Chris Carson. And, man, they were that's as fired up as you can be for a seventh-round pick. And, like, what stood out to me was, like, the GM said, kick ass. And then Pete Carroll says, you are going to hammer people, knock the S-H-I-T out of people. Like, they're ready to put him to work. They're ready to see him truck people like he did against TCU. So I think – It's kind of strange. I guess after watching that, I'm a little more high on the situation there for him. But, man, they got a lot of running backs in Seattle. He'll have to really make an impression.
Yeah, Thomas Fleming wrote a really good piece for us today about how a lot of the formations that Seattle runs in terms of their running backs, Oklahoma State runs them as well, and how that could be a good fit. But he also mentioned they've got, like, I mean, Eddie Lacy is like their third guy or something. They just signed him. So it's good on one hand, but it's bad on the other. The thing I wanted to say about Jarwin, the last former Oklahoma State walk-on that signed with Dallas as an undrafted free agent
is going to the Hall of Fame.
Is an all-timer,
Dan Bailey.
Yeah. So little symmetry there.
He's a walk-on, but he kind of isn't. Like didn't he sign a scholarship to Arkansas, or did he walk on?
I think he just. I don't know.
No, I think he did walk on, actually. I've looked this up before, but no, yeah, that's good symmetry there. I mean, Dan Bailey, you don't think about it, he's still playing, but he's going to be in the Cowboy Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And has a really good shot. I mean, who knows? I mean, I think he's a really good shot to make the Hall of Fame. Morton Anderson just went in, and I used to think, well, you got to win some rings like Vinatieri to get in, but Morton Anderson just went in, and he was good for a long time.
Most accurate kicker in NFL history, literally.
I think he lost it.
Oh, did he?
last year. Probably like a percentage point to the guy who plays for the Ravens right now, Justin Tucker.
Oh, okay.
But maybe he got it back. Hell, I don't know. I don't follow that close.
Hey, a lot. Anything else? Stearns to Kansas City, Juwan Seals to the Bears. Do you think any Bears quarterbacks can complete passes to Juwan Seals?
No, but I don't think they have a lot of talent at receiver. So that's a good, I think that's a really good spot for Seals as well. But the guy I really just more than anyone want to see succeed is Jordan Stearns.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he was awesome just for 4 years and was really great on our podcast. So I'm a little biased that he came on and talked to us. But the guy's just a football player, man. And I think he can be a little bit like Tony Jefferson. Obviously, Tony Jefferson was probably a little bit of a better player. He might have been an All-American. But Tony Jefferson didn't get drafted either. Now, he had some, you know, it was really questionable why he went undrafted. I think there was rumors that the OU coaches didn't exactly endorse him strongly. But he was undrafted, made the Cardinals, and now just got paid by the Ravens. So maybe Stearns can kind of follow that model because they're very similar in size. You know, Tony Jefferson's only 5'11", 200 pounds. So I think maybe Stearns can – I really hope he succeeds. That's kind of my big takeaway from the undrafted guys.
Yeah, I agree. By the way, Dan Bailey, 89.52 percentage on field goals. Justin Tucker, 89.84.
So yes, he just lost it barely.
He's 0.32 percentage points behind the all-time lead.
Yeah, and he'll be that way, you'd think. Like the guy, isn't it amazing when you watch Cowboys games? It doesn't matter how long it is. It just goes right down the middle every single time.
It's unbelievable. It's incredible. Okay, we need to toast somebody. It's time for the Coop Ale Works Toast of the Week. Coop Ale Works bring great-tasting craft beer in Oklahoma City. Try the flagship F5 IPA, the bold DNR Belgian Strong Ale, or the refreshing Horny Toad Blonde. For your next watch party, tailgate, or get-together with friends, enjoy a cold Coop Ale Works. And please remember to drink responsibly. We got some different people that we could toast. I don't know if you want to stay NFL draft, but we got some NBA stuff going on. We got some Cruton that we need to talk about. So who are you going to toast this week with your Coop alcoholic beverage?
Well, I think he likes a stogie every now and then. So after he lights a nice cigar, I'm going to crack open a Coop F5 for Casey Dunn.
Yes.
The guy, it's unbelievable how much talent he's already assembled in Stillwater. And now he just got a commitment from the CJ Moore kid out of Tulsa Union who could go pretty much anywhere he wants. Now, I know there's a family tie there. Is Tracy Moore's his cousin? Is that right?
I don't know. Yeah.
I can't remember. There's a family tie there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people are just yelling at their podcast right now who know that. But just think of all the talent Casey Dunn has assembled in his time at OSU. Like, give this guy a raise. Like, I'm sure Gundy, that's why he's not signing his contract. He's like, I got to get Casey Dunn more money. Look at all these dudes he's bringing me. So I think he deserves a coup or 10 or 12.
I got an email yesterday called the Moore Family, and it was going through all the Moores. Tremonda, CJ,
Charlie.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, Charlie. It doesn't mention how CJ and Tracy are related. I think it's his cousin.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Anyway, I don't know if we've toasted this man before. It seems like we have, but I'm going with a big DNR for Josh Henson. Just cleaning up on the recruiting trail. He just signed his, I believe, fourth, or not signed, but he just got a commitment from his fourth recruit for the 2018 class, which, as somebody pointed out on our Slack chat, it kind of makes what Greg Adkins didn't do last year look even worse. They didn't sign a single high schooler in the 2017 class, and now you've got four pretty good ones committed for 2018. And I think Kyle Boone's going to write about this later this week, but he's still going after more. And, it's pretty fun on the recruiting front right now. So big DNR to Josh Henson for coming in and doing work over the first couple of months of his tenure there.
Man, he's been impressive, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, Whew, what a big hire that was. I mean, he had already gone to Arizona State, and Gundy gets him to come back after he'd already taken another job.
Yeah, he pulled the reverse. Who was the guy that Oklahoma State tried to hire before Les Miles?
Dirk Cutter.
Yeah, wasn't he at Arizona State?
Yeah.
The reverse cutter.
Yeah, the reverse cutter. I mean, I thought Greg Atkins did a really good job coaching the offensive yes. line. They went from just hapless to respectable to where they were actually running the ball down people's throats last year.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, recruiting is the lifeblood of the profession. And if you can't recruit, you're going to be gone pretty quick. And obviously Gundy made that call swiftly after signing day. And Josh Henson's a guy who's been talked about around here a long time. I mean, he's been an offensive coordinator candidate.
He was the offensive coordinator at Missouri.
Yeah, back when they were rolling.
Yeah.
Now they fell off a little bit because they're Missouri and they're in the SEC. But
wow.
What?
Just taking shots at Missouri.
Well, no, I mean, everyone blamed Josh Henson. Well, they just, when they moved to the SEC, they kind of lost their recruiting ties to this area and around, you know, down in Texas. It's hard to recruit.
Yeah.
So they just didn't have as good players as Missouri was. Missouri was really good in the Big 12. Chase Man, Daniel. They were awesome. Yeah, they were up to like number two in the country at one point, maybe number one. I can't remember how high they got. But my point is, Josh Henson's a really good coach, and he seems like a natural fit if Mike Yurcich were ever to leave to be kind of the OC in waiting.
Yeah, especially without Marcus Arroyo around.
We should pour out a coupe for that. That's so depressing.
I know. I still follow him on Twitter, and so I get all these like Oregon centric emojis in my timeline. I need to just unfollow, but I can't. I feel bad. I can't.
It's like an ex you follow on social media. You can't bring yourself to unfollow. You just have to know what they're up to.
That's great.
How many Oregon rough draft blogs have you started since he's left? Several?
If I could do it all over again, I would still start an Oklahoma State blog, but it would be really fun to have an Oregon blog. Wouldn't it?
Especially now that they're good at like everything. They're good at basketball.
That's what I'm saying. They get guys drafted. I mean, we'd have to hire like three people to cover uniforms.
Our uni review would be like 60 minutes long. But their football team did have a terrible year last year.
Yeah.
That must be said.
They were not good. I do want to point out Oklahoma State recruiting under Mike Gundy without a mullet has been pretty average. Oklahoma State recruiting under Mike Gundy with a mullet has been pretty outstanding. They're number one in the Big 12 right now in terms of their 2018 class. They're number 15 or 16 in the country right now. And I talked to Tyler Lacey, who's a defensive end that committed over the weekend. I talked to him on Monday. I said, what's up with the mullet? Like, did you like it? Like, what'd you think? And he said, well, at first I thought it was weird, but, you know, it just fits his personality. Like, it just is. It's just, I don't know if, and all that to say, Carson, I don't know if Gundy can ever cut it now. It's just like, It's part of the lore. Like, if he cuts it, it's going to be a national story.
It would be like Les Miles not wearing his hat at this point, his top hat, his Elmer Fudd cap. You can't cut it at this point. It would be like Steven Adams and Enes Kanter shaving their mustaches. You got to ride it out.
Harden shaving the beard.
Yes. Like, could you imagine if Harden just showed up clean shaven for a game?
That would be terrible. That would be flabbergasting.
Yeah. So yeah, it is funny how the mullet has became, it was kind of a, you know, parody of himself, and now it's just part of who he is and people seem to dig it. And obviously Gundy's rolling right now. I mean, why do you think all of a sudden now, Kyle, you know, you and I have, if there's been one thing you could criticize Mike Gundy for, it was recruiting and how they were in like the 30s, despite being a, you know, a top 10 winningest program over the last several years. Why do you think all of a sudden they're getting top 15 guys? It can't be the mullet.
I don't know. I think part of it is like you've had back-to-back 10-win seasons now, and I know that they've done that in the past. But I mean, I don't know. That's I guess the first thing I would point to. You got to win. The other thing is, and this is the part that's a little disconcerting is it's, you know, it's May. Like, you can't sign these guys until, I don't know if the early signing, I think the early signing period will actually be implemented this year. So you can't sign them until December, late December. And if not then, then 1st of February. And so you got a long time for Bob Stoops to get on his, you know, boomer jet and fly around to all these places. And you've got a long time for Urban Meyer to fly around all these places. So I guess, you know, it's a little bit, it's a little early to like crown Gundy the king of this recruiting period. But you're right. Like, they've done a great job, and I don't know what it is. I don't know. Maybe it just takes that long to establish yourself as a national, kind of semi superpower.
CJ Moore is Tracy Moore's cousin, by the way.
There you go.
There we go. Yeah, no, I think you're right about the winning. I can't remember what recruit it was, but he was quoted basically as saying, you know, look, OSU's on TV all the time. They're going to big time bowl games. Like, they're a winning program. That's why I want to be there. That's, you know, as much as we, you know, rue the Bedlam debacles and everything else, like, OSU has become a perennial 10, 9, 10, sometimes 11 win team program. And that's what kids recognize. They see him on TV all the time. Remember, I always tell the funny story about, you know, 97 when I was a kid. I've told this many times on the podcast. I couldn't believe seeing a number 21 next to OSU's name. That like blew my mind.
Yeah.
Like, that's just normal way of life now for kids growing up. When they see Oklahoma State, they just expect them to have a little number next to their name.
Yep. Yeah. It's really, it's really crazy, and it's impressive. And I mean, do you think that they'll be able to hold on to, you know, throughout the year? And does it, I mean, how important is this season to keeping the momentum going? Did you see that ESPN had them at number 6 going into the year?
Yeah.
Good gosh.
It's a little high. No, I mean,
I prefer,
do you trust the defense to be number 6 in the country?
No. And I prefer them to be like just send them down, put them 16, put them 11, put them, I don't know, just not 6th.
Now, Kyle, now we always complain that, you know, teams are ranked ahead of OSU just because they're not named OSU. And that, you know, if you start 6, that's less teams you got to pass.
Yeah, no, that's
always
true.
Better to stay high, you know, those playoff rankings and all that stuff.
That's true. And Phil, I can never say his name, Phil Steele, did have them, he did not have them in his predicted top 10, and he's gotten it right the last 3 years in a row. So
yeah, I bet they're 11 or 12. That's kind of where I would put them
in the AP. I think so too.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be 6. But I don't know if you can pick them to beat OU just based on what everything that's happened. And in fact, Mayfield's back.
Yeah. We need to talk about uniforms, Carson. Let's get to this week's uniform review, brought to you by Chris's University Spirit, your one-stop cowboy shop on Campus Corner. And be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Phil Steele has me just flummoxed over here.
You should just like record that. That way you can nail it and just play it, so you don't mess it up.
I should, but it's actually easier just to read it. Anyway, go to Chris's University Spirit, buy some camouflage OSU baseball hats. They still haven't sent us those. We need to get them on that.
You can have the camo. I just want a regular one.
I like the camo. I don't like camo generally, but I like that hat.
Go to Chris's University Spirit and get you one.
I will next time I'm up there. Carson,
get online. They have a website.
You have been covering the NBA playoffs, and you follow the NBA probably closer than I do. But I want to talk about NBA uniforms today. This is we're in the heart of the off season for college football. So let's talk about NBA uniforms. I want your thoughts on, do you have a favorite uniform? Do you have a least favorite? Do you have a favorite throwback? Give me your NBA uniform takes.
Best uniform in the NBA is Portland's alternate red jersey that they have. They don't wear it a lot, but man, when they do, it's stunning. Their black road jerseys are among the best as well. I kind of love their design. They have a very unique, you know, the diagonal pattern that they have. I've always liked. I really, really, really like the fact that I talk a lot about Washington or uniform karma, Kyle, and it's no mistake that the Wizards got good again once they went back to their old school red, white, and blue, that, you know, of the Bullets era.
Yeah.
So I really like the looks of theirs as well. God, there was another one I had on top of my head that I just forgot.
Is the Portland Reds, is that the Rip City one or no?
No, the Rip City's the sleeves.
Oh, why did they put sleeves on it?
Because that's what they do now. I don't know why.
That's awful.
God, I had another one I've already forgotten. I mean, have you seen the Thunder's orange one, Kyle, since we're on an OSU podcast?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty
OKC
solid.
OKC on the front?
It's solid.
By far their best uniform.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
And they wore the orange at home for a playoff game, and I was wondering if they were going to put orange T-shirts on the seats. They went with white. So that was disappointing.
Yeah.
What are your favorites? There's another one I'm just totally forgetting. I was about to say it and I forgot.
Well, I've got I'm trying to remember all these. Do you remember I'm looking through some old ones. Do you remember the Bulls pinstripes?
Yes.
The black with red pinstripes. The Orlando pinstripes were kind of all time. Those were great.
Oh yeah.
The black
classics.
I have an unpopular opinion.
Golden State's.
I really like Golden State's uniforms.
No, they're really good.
Yeah, the city. The
city ones might be the best.
Yeah,
the throwbacks with the trolley car on the back.
Yeah, those are awesome. I really kind of like the Bucks with the big like deer on the front.
Yeah, their rebrand has been exceptional.
I think the number like in the horns is weird. Like that's kind of odd, but I think that. That deer is pretty cool.
Yeah, they were at I covered the last game of the regular season or one of the last ones at home, and they were playing the Bucks, and it stood out to me, all their like practice gear. One of them had like the state of Wisconsin on it with Bucks written in it. Like they had a lot of cool like practice gear and stuff, so their rebrand has been awesome. What do you think about Atlanta Hawks? Have you seen theirs?
I hate them.
I get what they're trying to do, and I kind of like the innovation, but that just doesn't quite work.
No, it just is. It's goofy. It's not good. Another one that I like is the Philadelphia throwbacks, where it just says Phila across the front.
Mm-hmm.
That's strong to quite strong.
I love the Jazz going back to kind of their old school look. That's a big improvement, and also why they got good.
Yeah, I think
Karma.
I love that. I think the Jazz are generally really good with their unis. Like I don't like the Malone Stockton era ones, but their ones right now, like the green ones, I think those are solid.
No, the ones, yeah, those are awesome, and I like the new digits they're using too instead of just the old block. But worst ones, easily the Rockets. Like the Rockets have the worst uniforms in the NBA.
I feel like they've had the worst uniforms since they went to those clouds and that rocket ship back in like 94.
Well, the era in which they had Barkley and Pippen with the pinstripe around.
That's what I'm talking about.
Those are the worst like ever made. I'm talking about worst like right now. Those and like the teal Pistons jerseys that Grant Hill had to wear were like the worst when they rebranded.
Yeah, what were the Pistons doing?
I have no idea.
That was like they were trying to be the Grizzlies.
Celtics. I like the Celtics too. I'm a sucker for the Celtics classic uni.
Yeah,
it's blasphemy when they wear like those black and green ones.
It's an abomination.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Do you like the Cavs or no?
Nah, I wish they'd go back to blue and orange.
Yeah, those are solid.
There's plenty of blue and orange teams, I guess, now with Thunder and Knicks.
Do you think the Thunder would ever wear Sonics throwbacks?
No, heck no. They would wear Oklahoma City Cavalry throwbacks before those, probably. They had the CBA back when I was a kid.
The Sonics jerseys were awesome, though.
Yeah, which era?
They were great. Sean Kemp, Gary Payton.
Yeah, but not like 96 when they had like the cartoon Space Needle.
No, just
the finals.
Just the Sonics across the front. Those were
pretty good. It is funny how everyone rebrands, like those goofy Sonics ones and like the Jazz with Karl Malone, and they always end up going back to like their original look. It's like, why are you even like the Pistons when they went to teal or whatever? It's like, stop.
I didn't like
76ers now. Whenever the Iverson, what were they doing in the Iverson era? Now they're back to their normal colors.
I didn't like the Denver like Carolina blue either, or I don't like it. Is that what they still have?
Yeah, they need to go back to the 80s look, with, like dark blue and white and yellow.
Yeah,
I don't like the Carolina.
I agree.
Who's your absolute? If you had to pick one, who's your favorite? Did you say Warriors?
Yeah, I think I. You know who else I don't really love is Mavs.
Yeah,
I don't.
Not great.
I don't love that. I guess Warriors. Portland's are really good though. So I'll go with one of those two.
Have you seen the red ones I'm talking about? Have you Googled those yet?
I'll do that right now. Is that your number one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Those or. Yeah, those. I mean, they're just stunning.
Oh yeah, where it says Portland across the front with the stripes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
That's pretty good.
Woo. Those are awesome.
Okay. We've geeked out on NBA uniforms, so let's hear one more time from our sponsor, Chris's University Spirit, and then we'll come back and wrap things up. Chris's University Spirit on Campus Corner in Stillwater, Oklahoma is proud to be your one-stop cowboy shop since 1986 and proud sponsor of this podcast, Pistols Firing. They specialize in custom-printed Oklahoma State apparel and merchandise and pride themselves on their excellent customer service. They also offer a full line of custom Greek apparel and can even outfit your Little League team head-to-toe. They're located at the corner of 3rd and Knobloch on historic Campus Corner. You can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Shop Stilly, shop Chris's University Spirit. Okay, Carson. What have we missed? What else did you want to talk about? Nick Saban getting paid? How about that?
He's still underpaid, isn't he?
11.1.
Not per year, right?
Yeah.
You mean, yeah.
11.1 per year.
Well, isn't like for that just like a handshake deal or I don't know. 11 per year is what you're telling me.
He's getting 11.1 this year. Oh, so you're saying for that was just a signing bonus. Yes, yeah. You're correct.
So like on the official, like what he gets paid, like obviously he doesn't care. He gets 11 mil a year, but like on the coach's salaries list, it'll say like 6.5.
Yeah. It'll say
7.5, whatever it is.
Yes. Yeah, 7 something.
I didn't want to finish up on the draft. There's a post on Pistols blog about Rudolph and Washington being first round picks.
So it's 7.1 and then 7.5 and then 10.3 and then 7.1. So he gets another bonus in the middle of it. But yeah, he'll get 11.1 this year and he's probably underpaid by about half.
And how much money has he made Alabama?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's absurd. It's absurd.
Mike Gundy just forwarded that contract status to Mike Holder.
I was getting ready to say Gundy had someone print that out because he definitely doesn't know how and just slid it under Mike Holder's office door.
Gundy walked up to his assistant. He had his phone. He said, get this off of this to Holder, and just handed him the phone and walked off. You deal with scanning it, emailing it, however you want to do it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, you wanted to talk about Rudolph in Washington. We need to talk about that.
Yeah. There's a blog post on your website about Rudolph in Washington being projected as first-round picks. I don't think that's crazy.
I was thinking about this today. Do you think Mason Rudolph has a chance to be like a top 5 pick? I don't want to say that too loud.
But did you just whisper that?
Can he be a top 5 pick?
If Jared Goff and Carson Wentz can be top 5 picks, Mason Rudolph certainly can. That just shows you that the need there is for quarterbacks in the NFL. So I don't think that's crazy at all. I'm curious to see more so. I think Mason's almost a lock to be a first round pick.
That's insane to think about. I mean, just like,
is it though?
No,
like
no,
the
no.
Production, the size, no, like it's really pretty easy.
I agree. No. I agree with you. I'm what I'm saying is like thinking about where he was 3 years ago, just rolling him out there in Waco in the rain and you're like, who should we even be playing this guy? Who, what is he? Is he good? Like, what is he going to do? And now it's like, yeah, he's going to be a first round pick unless something happens. Like, that's just the, and I think part of that for me is like, it's felt like such a short amount of time that he's been there. And it really is in the big scheme of things, but it's just like, it goes by so fast. And then all of a sudden he's signing a $10 million signing bonus or whatever.
We are old.
Yeah, that's the real lesson here.
Like, don't you think like Zach Robinson should be like a senior?
Yeah. Does he have any eligibility left?
Mason, is he gonna pass the hand combine?
I don't know. We need to like get Dez to get him to work on like some hand exercises to lengthen those things out, because he might be in the Alex Smith class of.
I forgot about Alex. He had small hands, didn't he?
Teddy Bridgewater, small hands.
Really?
Yeah. Look it up.
He's the first. Well, Alex Smith was the first overall pick. It didn't hurt him. So even if he doesn't pass the hand combine, just cue up the tape. But speaking of, James Washington, I think. I've come around on him. I really think he has a chance to be a first round pick. Obviously, all these projections have him kind of the latter half of the first round. He doesn't have the height, which we've talked about a lot, but I mean, John Ross went 9 to the Bengals. He's short. Obviously, he ran a 4.2. That's why he went that high. But I'm interested to see. For me, it all kind of depends on what Washington runs, because he's going to have an insane vertical. The production's going to be there on tape. I think if he runs a fast 40 time, which I think he probably will, I think he might solidify himself as a first round pick.
I agree. Real quick, I just Googled Teddy Bridgewater hands. Apparently, this article came out that apparently there are concerns that Bridgewater's hands are too small, which explains in part why he wore gloves in college, but doesn't explain why he didn't wear them during his pro day. So we might have an OJ glove situation on our hands with Mason Rudolph at his pro day next year.
Mason shows up in oven mittens on his pro day.
No,
I'll never understand how he couldn't hang onto a football and 6'1" Baker Mayfield frat daddy could hang on and sling it all over the yard.
I agree with you about Washington.
I'll never understand that.
I think there's some concern. I mean, yeah, I think there's some concern there that he's a product of a really good offense. Now, having watched that offense over the last 2 years, I think that concern should be alleviated, and that they're not running the Brandon Weeden, Justin Blackman offense. They're running, I think, more at Thomas Fullman will probably say I'm a moron for saying this because I don't really know what I'm talking about, but it seems like they're running more of a pro style offense with actual fullbacks and tight ends and, the things that professional teams use. So I don't think it's a mirage. I don't think Justin Blackman was a mirage either. But I don't know. I can't shake this feeling that Washington's just a little bit small to be like a top 10 pick, like the guys, not that you were saying that, but the guys that get taken in the top 10 or 15 that are receivers are just freaks. Like, they're 6'4", they're Kelvin Benjamins, and he's just not built like that.
John Ross is smaller than him.
Yeah, but he ran a 4.1 or whatever.
He broke the combine record.
Yeah. So, yeah, if he breaks the combine record, by all means. But
no, I know.
What's he going to run, like a 4?
Antonio Brown is the best receiver in football. He's not very big.
What do you think Washington will run?
4.4, which I think would lock him up.
23rd pick, 19th pick?
Yeah, somewhere in the first round. Depends on, obviously, those teams in the back half needing a receiver.
Did you see where a lot of people were projecting Rudolph to go?
I mean, Corey Coleman went 15th. He's not very big.
What happened to your boy KD Cannon, by the way?
I've put out calls, texts, tweets, like, how in the world did KD Cannon not get drafted? And don't tell me it's character issues. Did you see all the people getting drafted?
Yeah.
Like, a lot worse dudes getting drafted than him, apparently. But I'll never understand that. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I agree. Did you see where most people have Rudolph going?
I had it pulled up. I lost it. Where are they going?
Washington.
Ew.
You like that?
No.
You like that?
No. No, I don't, Kirk. Washington just, to me, seems like a rudderless franchise.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, I don't
like
that.
They're getting rid of Kirk Cousins, who's like a top 10 quarterback. Michigan. Like, it's hard to find a good quarterback, and they just don't want to pay him. It's like, what are you guys doing over there?
He was part of that 77 years of Michigan State draft war.
My boy Adam Lunt wants him to go to the Cardinals. Apparently he fits their downfield passing offense from Bruce Arians.
I like that.
Mason can play a lot of golf out in Phoenix.
Carson Palmer's like 60, 65?
He's 38.
He seems old. He seems like he was winning titles at USC with like Marcus Allen.
2003. I don't think Marcus played then.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, he's old. He's 38.
Yeah, it's going to be – that'll be a fun storyline to – it's always fun. Like, I follow the 11 Warriors Ohio State blog, and they had so much draft coverage because they had so many guys get drafted. The
entire team got drafted.
Yeah, and it's like, that's fun. I mean, it's fun to cover Carson and Taylor, but I want six guys from OSU to get drafted. And if Gundy keeps recruiting or hiring people to recruit like they are, then maybe that'll be in their future.
I just got a tweet from Tyron Johnson saying, why aren't you guys talking about me? I'm getting drafted top five.
Is he even eligible? I guess he is. He'd be out of school 3 years.
Oh, it's bag year with the emoji of the money bag. It's bag year.
This year?
I follow him on Twitter, and he says bag year a lot with the money bag or emoji.
I like that.
So he wants to make money.
We need to start using that.
It's bag year. Yeah. Bag year for Washington, bag year for Tyron, bag year for Mason, bag year for Gundy.
Yeah, it's a big bag. Gundy's,
big bag year for Gundy.
You need like five bags for Gundy.
He's going to be Scrooge McDucking it, diving for the gold coins.
I can't get – do you think he's got like – forget his assistant. Do you think he's got one of his sons like trying to install a printer right now in their home in Stillwater?
I think he just – gave him his phone and just walked off like Vince McMahon. tweet text this to Mike Holder. I'll be right back. I gotta go dove hunting.
I would pay, forget the Players Championship. I would pay, as long as I was allowed to write about it, I would pay unsubstantiated amounts of money to go on a vacation with Gundy's family this summer.
That would be something else.
Yes. Like, I just get to tag along and tweet and write blog posts about it. That would be, I mean, it'd be bag year for me if I got to do that.
Speaking of, one of my friends just got to ride around in a private plane with a prominent Big 12 coach.
Yes.
On, like, recruiting trips. He said it was awesome. Just traveling around, going – to visit, you know, he would just go hang out in these cities while the coach was talking to recruits or whatever, and he said it was just an awesome time.
I can't wait to hear who the coach is and who your friend is after we finish taping this. Are you allowed to say it?
Not on the podcast, no.
Okay. Well,
but just let it be known, like, traveling around with Gundy would be fantastic.
Yes, it would be amazing.
I don't know if you'd want to go with all his kids.
Their interactions would be just gold. I mean,
well, that's true. They just make fun of Mike the whole time.
Can you imagine like the things he's the think about the things he says publicly? What does he say to his kids? Like, it's incredible.
Does he have just the three boys?
Yeah. Golden era.
Gage, Gavin, and Gandalf. What is the third one? I feel bad. What's the middle one's name?
Gunner.
No, Gunner's the little one. Gage is the middle one. We never see Gage. We only see Gavin and Gunner. Where's Gage?
He's probably installing
the lost Gundy.
He's installing the printer. He's at Best Buy right now.
He's installing the printer. He's scanning the documents with the draft that Gundy's come up with.
Okay, Carson. We are completely off the rails, but as always, this was a blast. Back at it later in the week, hopefully with a guest.
Yeah, let me know if you need a golf podcast guest in the meantime.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.